Brahmaya Vasmiti Sadvritya. Brahmaya Vasmiti Sadvritya. Niralambataya Stitihi. Niralambataya Stitihi. Jnana Shabdena Vikhyata. Jnana Shabdena Vikhyata. Paramananda Dayini. Paramananda Dayini. Brahmaya Vasmiti Sadvritya. Brahmaya Vasmiti Sadvritya. Niralambataya Stitihi. Niralambataya Stitihi. Dhyana Shabdena Vikhyata. Dhyana Shabdena Vikhyata. Paramananda Dayini. Paramananda Dayini. Brahma Eva Asmi Iti. Brahma Eva Asmi Iti. Sadvritya Niralambataya Stitihi. Dhyana Shabdena, compound, Dhyana Shabdena, Vikhyata Paramananda Dayini. Parama Ananda Dayini, three words compound. Brahma Eva Asmi. Brahma Eva indeed, Asmi, I am. I am Brahman alone. Brahma Eva Asmi. Iti. Put it in quotes, thus, sad vritya, by this vritti, instrumental vritya, so by this vritti, which is sat, means it's a vritti whose subject is sat, that which is not, cannot be negated in the three periods of time, nor, this is from the Bhasha. It can't be, I'm adding this, can't be negated in the three periods of time, nor can it be negated by another pramana. Another means of knowledge cannot come in and knock this off. So it is sat. So by a vritti, which is sat, by said vritti, by the, you say it like this, by the said vritti, Brahma aham asmi, I am Brahman, Brahmaiva asmi. You don't need the aham because it's included in the asmi. Oh. Asmi means I am. Brahma Eva. Brahma alone. Okay? So by this sadvritti, niralambataya stitihi. Stitihi means to stand, to remain, to abide in. Okay? So all of these words, it comes from the word, from the root sta, to stand or to remain. So stiti means to be placed in something, to be stationary, to be abiding in something, to be remaining there, to be standing in that, is stitihi.
Not like nishta.
Well, actually, nishta comes from, that's the sta also, to stand firmly, to remain firmly in something. So stiti has the same basic root of sta, which means to stand or remain. So nishta means to stand firmly, to be have a conviction, to be certain about something, unwavering in your convictions, nishta. So here's just stitihi, means standing, abiding in, we could say abiding in, you know. Then with this one, sorry, I need my glasses. Nir alambataya. That's instrumental from, singular from nir alambata. That, without there being an alambana. An alambana means something that you depend upon for support. Like, for instance, that you depend on or that you rest upon as an alambana, as a support. So, for instance, you could take the body to be an alambana. You know, the body is needed for the atma. There's an identification of the self with the body, identification of the self with the mind, with the sense organs, with some vishya. Some identification with some sort of a vishya, some sort of an object, some sort of a thing. Here, in the Brahma Ahamasmi, I am Brahman alone, by that vritti, there is an abiding which is totally independent of any dependency upon anything. Because Brahman is not dependent on anything. Right? For its being, Brahman doesn't have an alambana. It's not sitting on something. Brahman doesn't need a support. Brahman is the support. And so you're abiding in something which is not, which is totally independent of any type of vishaya, needing any type of support. That's the idea. Okay.
Where is the reference to Aham Brahmasmi? Is that?
It's the first part of the verse.
Oh, okay.
Brahma eva asmi.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Okay, so that abiding without the need for any type of support, and so that by that abiding in the abiding nominative singular, without any independently, you can say, the abiding independently, free of any need for a support, by the sattvritti, Brahma aham asmi, because that Brahman doesn't have a support, need a support, it is the support. So, next line. Dhyana shabdena, by the word dhyanam. Remember in the Ashtanga Yoga, dhyanam, it goes pratya, the last three are dharana, dhyanam, samadhi. So dhyanam means the mind is focused on, there's a, what we call an anuvritti, of there's a continuation of pravaha. Pravaha means that like there's a flow of the same repeating vritti, aham brahmasmi, means the mind is absorbed in that vritti, in the reality of that vritti. What is the vritti that the mind is absorbed in? Aham brahmasmi. And the source, the content of that vritti, which is Brahman, is totally independent. It's not dependent upon anything for its being. Right? Because Brahman is the substratum of everything. So, by the word dhyanam, vityata, that stitihi, that abiding, that independent abiding, vityata, nominative, singular, in past passive participle, in the feminine. Stiti is feminine. Stitihi is feminine, nominative, singular. Vityata is a past passive participle, feminine, nominative, singular. It means that which is very well known. Vikyata. Kya means to tell, but vikyata means to be well known, to be well understood, well known by the word jhanam. Okay, so.
So did you say the PPP is
vikya? Vikya. Vikya is the verb.
Vikya.
And then with the ta. Vikyata.
Oh,
past passive participle.
Vikya, not vikyat.
No, vikyata. Mm-hmm. But then you make it feminine by making elongating the vikyata makes it feminine. Okay? Okay, so that is well known by the word jhanam. Paramananda dayini. And that's stitihi, which is that independent abiding by means of that sadvritti, I am Brahman. That stitihi, that abiding, is parama ananda dayini. Dayini means that which is gives, that which gives, that which is giving, or that which gives, parama ananda, the supreme fullness. Dayin is the one who is giving. Paramananda. Okay? So in the feminine, so dayin becomes dayini in the feminine, and because stitihi is feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that stiti is dayini, a giver of paramananda.
Why don't they just say ananda? Why do they say paramananda?
Because paramananda, ananda can be used relatively of all of the different types of joys and bliss that take place in the mind because of the vritti. But the paramananda is one swarupa. That's the ananda of Brahman.
Right, and the
dayini.
Dayini, is that the same as in Swami Dayananda?
No, that word is daya, and here this dayini comes from da, okay? From dayin. Da means to give, but dayananda, that daya, means compassion.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's compassion. Yeah. The one who's Ananda is from is born of compassion.
And that's different than Da, than Giving. Yeah. It comes kind of a different origin, source.
I'll have to look up the etymology of Daya.
Okay.
Okay.
So
I can
John,
just look
at a later date.
So Janam in a way stands for the Sadhvirti, in a way?
Yes, it's the Janam is the it stands for the abiding in the Sadhvirti.
Mm-hmm.
The dharana is the focusing of the mind.
Mm.
That's dharana.
Mm.
The abiding there means the mind keeps flowing. The vrittis keep flowing there.
Mm.
So remaining there is the dhyanam.
Mm.
Focusing on it is the dharana.
Mm.
But then having the vrittis continue to flow into that is called dhyanam, meditation.
And do you develop that sort of mind, or is it just on automatic pilot?
You develop it.
Yeah.
And nir-alambataya, you said the substantive is, not the nir part, but the substantive is alamban.
Nir-alambanata.
Alambanata.
Abstract, ta.
Okay.
It's the state of being without any, the state of being independent. The state of being free of any alambana. Alambana is a basis or something that's needed for support.
Didn't we have that like for a stick, a sage with a stick? Didn't we
have
that?
That's the Dandi.
Dandi.
So there's nothing else but Brahman that qualifies for that definition.
In this section, we're taking all of these words that are words used in the Patanjali Yoga, and we're defining them in reference to at what they mean, you know, giving, in a sense, a broader definition or a more absolute definition.
Yeah.
Okay. And what they mean in terms of Vedanta. What would absolute jnana mean? It would be the mind's abiding in that which is absolute, right? The mind's continual abiding in that which is absolute. Where actually jhanam can be done on many different things. You could do jhanam on the form of Shiva, on the image, on the murti of Shiva. You can do jhanam on, you know, on the point between your eyes, or you can do jhanam on the lotus, heart lotus.
Yeah.
But it just means that there's a flow of vrittis that are totally absorbing the mind in that, whatever it is, that locus of meditation, that point of focus. But here the point of focus is Brahman, okay? And so when the mind is naturally abiding in Brahman, which itself has no alambana, it has no point of focus, there's no place where Brahman is not. So the Brahman itself is independent. So the mind's abiding in that Brahman, and how does it abide there? It means the vrittis are continually recognizing that as I am Brahman. That's what makes it young.
Oh, that's okay. Beautiful.
Okay, so let's chant that. Everybody okay with this? Let's chant it and go on to the next. Brahmai vasniti sadvritya. Brahmai vasniti sadvritya. Niralambataya stitihi. Niralambataya stitihi. Dhyana shabdena vikhyata. Dhyana shabdena vikhyata. Paramananda-dāyini, nirvikārataya-vṛtyā, brahmākārataya-punaha, priti-vismaranam-samyak, samādhir-jñāna-sanyakaha, nirvikārataya-vṛtyā, brahmākārataya-punaha, priti-vismaranam-samyak, samādhir-jñāna-sanyakaha, nirvikārataya-vṛtyāha. So nirvikaratya vrityaha brahmakaratya punaha vritti vismaranam samyak samadhihi jnana sanyakaha. Now, nirvikarataya is from nirvikarata, in the instrumental singular. Ta is that abstract ending. So, by being nirvikarata, by being without vikara, without any differentiation, subject-object differentiation, that's it. Nirvikara means without any duality, subject-object duality. So, vikara means modification. Nirvikara, free of modification. So, by being nirvikara, what is being nirvikara? Vrityaha. For the vritti. Here, it's not vritya, which would be instrumental. It's vrityaha, from vritti, which is a feminine noun. Vrityaha. For the vritti. So, the nirvikaritya vritya, by the vritti being without... without, free of any duality, free of vikara, then brahmakaritaya punaha, and again, punaha just means again, you can use it as and by being in the akara, in the form of Brahman, for the vritti. So this vrityaha in the genitive singular goes both to nirvikaritaya and brahmakaritaya. Punaha means and. So, punaha literally means again or more, moreover, further. So, you say, in English, we'd say, because of the vritti, being free of duality, nirvikara, and because of the vritti being in the form of Brahman, and form understands, means the vritti, is not assuming the form of an object, it's resolving into the subject. That's what they mean by form, not that Brahman has a form. So the akara, what's the vritti doing? It's taking on the form, so to speak, the nature of Brahman, rather than taking on the shape or something of an object, it's resolving into Brahman. So then what? Vritti vismaranam. The vismaranam, the forgetting of the vritti. Vismaranam, it's as though the vritti is forgotten. The vritti disappears. That's what's meant here. When awareness, the Satchitananda awareness, now is illumining, lighting up, a vritti, which now is absorbed into Brahman. It has no subject-object vikara. It's free of subject-object. And what is filling that vritti, instead of like a painting, what's filling the vritti is only Brahman, is only consciousness. So now the vritti becomes as though invisible. It's not something that you can notice, that you can cognize. It's actually said to be atisukshma, extremely subtle, because it is so totally resolved into the form that's being meditated on. Now, you can, in yoga, you can have this samadhi, which is going to be the result after dharana. You focus on an object, then you let the mind flow into that object, dhyanam. And then as that happens, that flow is happening, what happens is the subject-object relationship with the object disappears and there's only the experience of the object. Like, for instance, say if you're meditating on the form of Shiva, like a murti, a form of Shiva. First you focus, dharana, then the mind flows into that object of focus of Shiva, and then as you hold that dhyanam, samadhi takes place, and samadhi in reference to the form of Shiva would be at that time, there's no subject-object, there's only the experience of the form of Shiva. Not that I'm looking at Shiva, there's a resolution into the form. In Vedanta, how we're looking at this now. Not that this other type of meditation, we would call it upasana.
Yeah.
When you're meditating like this on a form. But now when we're using samadhi, we're talking about it in terms of nididhyasana. Nididhyasana here means we're looking at it in terms of the mind flowing into the object of meditation, which is Brahman, and to the point of absorption, that jhanam, goes into an absorption where the vritti itself is no longer recognized. It's no longer seen. So that's the vritti vismaranam.
Mm-hmm.
There's no remembrance, no noticing of the vritti. The vritti is as though not there. All that is there, all that's being, the vritti is there. Otherwise you couldn't come out. Right? You come out and you have a memory of what happened, right? So it's not that the vritti is not there, but the vritti is not being noticed at all. That's the vritti vismaranam. Okay, so
is that because it's looking at the subject? Or
yeah, because the content of the vritti is the subject. So you only have the subject aware of the subject illumining the subject. So there's no dvaita. There's just the overwhelming nature of the subject. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the vritti vismaranam.
And the other guy will keep seeing Lord Shiva, or what will he do? The yogi?
That would be a resolution to and for Vedantin also. If you're doing upasana and you're doing jhanam on an object of worship, of some object, then that jhanam, when it's held for a given period of time, will convert into samadhi,
mm-hmm.
where there's only the experience of the object. It's not something that you can do. You can't say, oh, I'm going, let me do samadhi now. It's that the jhanam itself, when that jhanam is held for a period of time, no length of time that we can say, the jhanam itself will convert into samadhi because of the absorption. So here we're talking about jhanam in reference to Brahman. The jhanam converts into samadhi where the vritti as though disappears. There's vritti vismaranam. Okay? So he says, samyak. When we say samyak, that goes with a vritti vismaranam. It clearly disappears completely, okay? Samya, very well, okay? And that vritti vismaranam, this whole process, the vritti vismaranam, which is because of the vritti becoming free of form, nirvikaratiya, and assuming the form of Brahman, so because of that vritti vismaranam, we have the vritti vismaranam, that is samadhi. And that samadhihi, nominative singular, is jnana sattikaha. It's called jnanam. Or in Vedanta, it's that. That is the jnanam, right? Because the pramana is not giving you indirect knowledge. It's giving you direct knowledge. Aproksha. So that means that your mind recognizes this, completely sees your own nature. And you can call that samadhi, it could be jada samadhi. Jada samadhi is not what we're talking about here. Jada samadhi is you have an experience of non-duality. And then you come back from it and then you say, oh, I had this wonderful experience, I want to have it again. I had this non-dual experience, I know this is a wonderful thing, this is the truth. How do I get that experience again? That's jada. Jada means inert. What we mean, it's a samadhi that's not associated with knowledge, it's only associated with experience. But samadhi, which is termed as jnanam, as we're talking about samadhi here, the samadhi is jnana samadhi. It's a samadhi that has for its term, sanya means term, jnanam. Because that vritti, right, is a vritti whose content is aham brahmasmi. In other words, I recognize the content of the vritti as Brahman. That I recognize myself as Brahman. That's the culmination of that recognition. There's no perception of duality at that time.
And then when you have no perception like that, is that kind of like just, is there a knowingness there? Or
there's the aparokshatvam, the self-evident nature of yourself that doesn't require any duality in order for it to be, it doesn't require cognition in order for it to be experienced. It is its own experience. That's what we mean by svaprakashatvam. So let's chant this. Is everybody okay with
it? Yeah, could you define sanyak again?
Sanya. Sanyakaha means that which has the term. That which is termed jnana.
So that which is called knowledge.
Samadhihi, which has the sanya. Which has the term jnanam. In English we say samadhi, which is termed jnanam, which we call jnanam. Okay? Which has the technical term of jnanam. Sannyasa, technical term. Okay? Everyone okay with that? Nirvikaratya vrityaha Nirvikaratya vrityaha Brahmakaratya punaha Brahmakaratya punaha Vriti vismaranam samyak Vriti vismaranam samyak Samadhirajnana samyakaha Samadhirajnana samyakaha Idam cha kritimanandam
Imam
cha kritimanandam Tavat sadhu samabhyaset Tavat sadhu samabhyaset Vashyo yavat kshanat pumsaha Vashyo yavat kshanat pumsaha Prayukta sampavet swayam Prayukta sampavet swayam Imam chakritimanandam Imam chakritimanandam Tavat sadhu samabhyaset Tavat sadhu samabhyaset Vashyo yavat kshanat pumsaha Vashyo yavat kshanat pumsaha Prayukta sampavet swayam Prayukta sampavet swayam Imam cha Akritim Anandam Tavat Sadhu Samabhyaset Vashyaha Yavat Kshanat Pumsaha Prayuktaha Sampavet Swayam It's continuing on now. It's talking about samadhi, okay? Imam cha and this. Akritim anandam. This ananda, which is akritim, not akritim, akritim, which is uncreated, means beginningless. It's the ananda, which is the nature of the swarupa. So it's akritim, it's uncreated. Anandam. Tavat for so long Tavat Yavat we'll make sense of it just put like for so long Sadhu means it's an indeclinable it means good or well Samabhyaset has to be practiced. Abhya, from abhyas means to practice. Samabhyas, it means it has to be practiced with diligence. That sadhu and samabhyaset, one needs to practice it properly with clarity and with consistency. Okay. So one should practice this and one should practice this uncreated ananda, okay, this samadhi, which is an ananda, which is beginningless, which, you know, is not something that's been created. One should practice this samadhi, okay, one should practice this samadhi, which is akriti ananda, okay. Vashyaha means that which is under one's control is vashyaha. Yavat means and we said try until.
What?
Until. Yavat. Yavat and Tavat are a little awkward to translate sometimes. So try until. Kshanat means instantly. Pumsaha. Kshanat is indeclinable. Yavat indeclinable. Pumsaha from pumps, genitive singular of the person. Of the man, pumsaha. Prayuktaha, that which in, it's going to be prayuktaha son, that which is, the son is going to be in parents, it's not in here, but that's the idea, that until that which is being engaged, just say being engaged or being done, being engaged, being activated, sambhavate, it arises, it should arise, swayam itself, it should arise itself. Now I've got to make sense out of this, okay?
Please.
Let me tell you just in English where it says, one should practice this samadhi, which is limitless ananda, beginningless ananda, akritim ananda. One should practice this samadhi until it arises spontaneously in the mind, right? Until it arises on its own, right? Being under the control, vashaha, of a person. So that means for the person, if I want my mind to absorb, I absorb it. And it's instantly, okay? So I can call upon that resolution of the mind as I wish. That's the vashaha. Pumsaha vashaha. It's under my control, right? And so instantly, kshanat means instantly, as I engage it, as it is being engaged, means as I desire it, prayuktaha sanna, means as I enjoin it, as I call it forth, it arises instantly, right? Of its own accord.
What?
Of its own swayam. It itself arises. Swayam itself, it arises itself.
Well, if I call it up or dial it, you know, that's not instantaneous.
It is instantaneous because the ananda is already there. And so all I need to do is focus on it and there it is. It itself is there. It's not like I have to generate it. I don't have to do anything for it. I just have to merely focus on it. I don't really even need to focus on it. It's an instantaneous thing because it's akriti ananda. It's an ananda that is beginning. It's not something created. I don't have to do anything to produce that ananda. I can notice that my own swarupa ananda at any time I want to. It doesn't require any kind of effort. It doesn't require any kind of doing. The ananda is there. Right now, at this moment, the ananda is there. If I want to notice it, I do. It's my given swarupa. If I want to resolve my mind into that, I do. Otherwise, it's just me. But if I want to, I can make my mind focus on it, or it can just be the content of the mind, right? Because Atma, do like this. Yourself, like the clay pot, the clay is the content of the pot, yourself is the content of every vritti that you have. That content is akriti ananda. It's an ananda, your very swarupa, is ananda, an uncreated ananda. It's not. We're not talking about the bliss vrittis that come and go or all the different meditative experiences. It's the ananda which is your being. It's an uncreated ananda. It doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end, it's just simply you. Now, you are there as the content of every vritti. You are the one who illumines every vritti. And so the ananda swarupa of yourself is always aparoksha. It's always you. You don't have to think about it for it to be you. You don't have to say, oh, look, I'm ananda. You know, you just are that. You are that and you recognize it. It's your own swarupa. Now, your mind is engaged in this and that and this and that. You, as Brahman, are the self of that, and that's aparoksha. That's just your given experience. You never have to think about it. You don't have to do anything about it. It's just you. You've identified your mind. The ajnanam is gone. However, if I want to, instead of my mind having this vritti or that vritti, looking at the painting, talking, being engaged in this and that, all the things that the mind does, I can just recognize myself like that. It's instantaneous. Myself is the self of the vritti. If I want the vritti to give a special regard to myself, it can. As opposed to thinking of the pot, or reading, or being engaged in this or that, where the content of the vritti is myself, plus these namarupas, plus these names and forms. So I'm just engaged in the world. It's no harm to me. I'm still the self of all of that. That's aparoksha. Or in between, like sometimes Swamiji says, you know, well, in between thoughts, I just am with myself. Right? It's instantaneous. This does not require anything. I engage it. Engage it means I turn my mind toward myself. Swamiji says, you know, I have a thought. And then if I'm not thinking about something, then I'm just with myself.
So is this different from nirvikalpa samadhi? Is it different?
It can turn into this nirvikalpa. That's a good question. For the jnanis, we'll see as we go on. For the jnani, this nirvikalpa samadhi is natural because of the nature of oneself. The nature of oneself is nirvikalpa. So for a jnani, in fact, you're never out of nirvikalpa samadhi. It doesn't require, in the end, your mind resolving so that there's no creation and there's only Brahman being experienced, minus the creation. There's a time, once you know yourself, you are the nirvikalpa. And so that means that the mind, you would say, I am always nirvikalpa. And even in terms of the mitya, I am nirvikalpa, mitya does not make two. Right? So I notice that. I can be engaged in samsara, working, doing this, doing that. And whenever I want, I can notice this is Ishvara. Or whenever I want, I can just, the vritti can just tune in to the nirvikaratvam, the anandam of my own being. But whether I tune into it or not, which is only not even an instant, you know, like, if there's no real time involved to speak of from having a vritti of this computer and then the flower over there. There's no real time involved, right? There's just this vritti, that vritti. So I can have this vritti, that vritti. It makes no difference. And the thing is for the Atma, I am always present. It's not like you have to travel anywhere. Like here, I have to look over here. There's 6 times. Now this is a long time, right? As these bodies change, because I have to change the scope where my eyes are falling. But I am the content of every vritti, and so where's the time involved? It's less than an instant. That's what the kshanat is. Okay.
Do you find your mind doing this on a daily a lot during the day?
It's not even something that you think about. Once you're, that's why this is the point he's making. It's not something that you worry about or thinking about, because it is you. And so you don't think, I'm doing this a lot during the day. It's because doing it is just natural. Because you're there. Just think, for jnani or ajnani, how many times do you use the I thought or have the I cognition? Because you're always there, right?
It's always.
You're always there.
Yeah.
So, in this way, it's a little different from that, but in this way, you're always there, and so the mind is always recognizing that, because you are the ananda, so what would your mind rather be recognizing?
But right? Sometimes it isn't. Is it for a jnani, sometimes is it an intentional recognition when their mind gets caught up in something and they're aware that their mind is getting caught up?
That's the sadhana. When the mind is getting caught up, you bring it back. Right? So if the mind can get caught up, then you bring it back. Mm-hmm. But there comes a time when the mind doesn't get caught up. That's what he's talking about here. Okay? Imancha kritimanandam. Imancha kritimanandam. Pavit sadhu samapyase. Tavat sadhu samapyase vashyo yavat kshanat punsaha vashyo yavat kshanat punsaha prayuktas sampavetsvayam prayuktas sampavetsvayam. Let's stop so we can do more on the vocabulary. The right word.
Do you have chakriti or do you have chakriti?
Chakriti.